The book of Ecclesiastes tells us, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build. You know, many blessings in our life seem to, in some way, also be connected to what feels like a curse. A lesson our scriptures for today show us is that the same can be said of hope. Hope is not given to make us feel optimistic. In fact, I would even say that some true hope does not feel good. It might even feel like a threat. I learned this personally in June of 2010. 2 days after my son's 13th birthday and 4 days after Father's Day, I separated from my husband. This was bar none the hardest decision of my life. Though we had reached the point where it was healthier to split up than to stay together, I carried great lament and shame for being the one to decide to forever fracture my family. This decision didn't feel hopeful. It felt dangerous, wrong. It even felt sinful. I felt it was destroying my kids. I was convinced of it. Though I was charged with providing these two precious young people security and love, I felt I was choosing brokenness and wounds for them. I did in that moment what I thought was the best in an awful situation. I found a therapist to work with us. I remember bringing them to that first appointment. Sarah walked into the waiting room to introduce herself to me, and she looked to be about 15 years old. And I remember thinking, what on earth can this person, still a kid herself, tell me about parenting? We walked into her office, and I admit to scanning the walls to make sure there was a diploma and a license up there. And after meeting with me and my kids for about 45 minutes, where we unloaded all of our dirty family little secrets on her, Sarah took me aside. She looked me dead in the eye and said, I want you to know something. I know so much of this probably feels hopeless right now, but this brokenness is sort of an odd-shaped gift. So many parents strive to protect their kids from pain, but your kids have the unique opportunity to learn coping skills and gain wisdom that might otherwise take them years to learn. Keep showing up and talking to them, and your kids will turn into resilient, strong, and successful adults. I was speechless. This wet behind the ears young therapist, whom I had dismissed, spoke a solid nugget of hope for me. Those words got me through the hardest season of my life and even still anchor me today. God chose this unlikely woman to be a star pointing me to the work of restoration. She was hope when all I felt was hopelessness. On a much, much grander scale, I think this is what is happening in our passages from Matthew and Isaiah. In Isaiah, the Hebrew people are trying to rebuild their lives after having been exiled from their land. They have lost their livelihood, culture, and identity, and are in the midst of lament and not knowing how in the world they will rebuild. And then in Matthew, the Hebrew people are under Roman occupation. The ruler of their country is a sociopath. Their nation and way of life are so enmeshed in oppression that when foreign magi, with no understanding of their religion, walk about 500 miles to Jerusalem and say to them, hey guys, did you know that there is this really strange star in the area? We are pretty sure it has something to do with a baby born that is to be your new king. They miss the significance of what they had been waiting for so many years and instead respond in fear. They are even given a second clue when Herod calls up a few of their religious leaders and asks where their Messiah is to be born. The scribes and Pharisees don't need to go back home and do an internet search first. They know their scriptures so acutely that they immediately quote their own prophetic scriptures to Herod, knowing that it will happen in Bethlehem. The Jews are in the midst of such abject hopelessness that their word of hope did not feel like hope. It felt like a threat. How many of us today experience hope as a threat? Last week, I was listening to an interview on NPR with author Linda William Jackson. She spoke of her upbringing in the civil rights era. Her African-American family opted to not get involved in the civil rights movement, never speaking of Emmett Till or Martin Luther King Jr. at home, because they were so afraid of change. Hope doesn't always feel like hope. It feels like a threat. People often wonder why domestic violence sufferers stay with their abusers, and while these situations are incredibly complex, sometimes staying in the status quo feels safer than an action that might risk greater harm, even if action can mean freedom. Hope doesn't always feel like hope. It feels like a threat. Where are your places that you feel hopeless and threatened? Have you told yourself that your addiction to food, alcohol, or your smartphone is just the way it is and that there is no joy-filled life without them? Does our nation feel broken beyond repair and you feel resigned to just letting things play their course over the next 4 or even 8 years? I believe we just heard some really powerful words from the prophet Isaiah that speaks to this condition. People of God, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from far away, and your daughter shall be carried on their nurse's arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Sometimes all we have is risking the next step, no matter how hard or senseless it might seem. Because our God declares light when we are still sitting alone in darkness. It means arising when we want to lie down. It is calling up a new therapist even if you're convinced she's only 15 years old. It is calling the Center for Women in Transition phone number when you want to explain away the bruises again. It is speaking up for the bully girl being mocked in the hallway when you risk being disliked or, worse yet, bullied yourself. It is calling a city councilwoman or your senator, even as you tell yourself, my small voice is an insignificant drop in the bucket. Bit by bit by bit, as we choose the gift of hope given to us through the work of a simple infant son raised by peasants a couple of millennia ago. We share in a work that moves from treacherous hope to a new heaven and earth. Bit by bit by bit, we shall see and be radiant. Our hearts will thrill and rejoice.